Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today we'd like to learn from Dr. Lightman what is the inner meaning of the concepts of punishment and atonement. We hear about different concepts like sins, transgressions, punishments, but also the ability to atone for these things and advance in life. We'd like to understand the inner meaning of these things. Be with us. Nitza, please. Yeah, on our previous show, we understood that sins, a person was born in sin because inside of him there is the evil inclination that constantly directs him to exploit others. How does a person decide on what to do? It's dictated by his own nature. He didn't create himself. He didn't program himself in any special way. He didn't design himself. And therefore, we can see it on children, even on babies, little children, the way they grow up. We see that each of them has a nature of their own. They don't choose the family they're born in, what society to develop in, and therefore, when he reaches the age of adulthood, then how can we demand of that person to be good or bad? He can say, go to the craftsman who made me. You made me this way, and therefore, how can you demand me today not to be a criminal? I was born in some criminal neighborhood. I don't know, somewhere in the downtown area. And then what do you want from me? This is how I was born. I got all my values from them, such and such values, and why didn't you care about me earlier? When I didn't know where I am, you caused me to be there, or at least you didn't help me to get out of there. You didn't take me to some other place. So this is who I am. And today, who am I? Today I killed someone. I stole something. So for me, it's natural after the way I was brought up. So why am I to blame? Why are you saying that I committed a crime? Maybe the state, society committed a crime, and not me. So here you're saying something very interesting. Because what if the environment that I grew up in appreciates criminals and violence, suppose? Yeah. But I also understood that even if I grow up in an excellent environment, very moral, with excellent values, still there is some kind of an evil inclination inside of me that wants to use others. Of course, that goes without saying. People are born better, worse, with natural inclinations. Meaning that a person that grows up in a good qualitative environment, still there is this thing inside of me that's causing me to sin. And what is that? It's my desire to use others for my own benefit. This is actually the sin. Yes. Now, on this show, we'd like to focus on punishment. We really fear punishments. Now, punishment is a very diverse thing, the way an ordinary person sees it. There is the punishment that comes from society, meaning that society punishes you. And there is punishment that, so to speak, comes from God, because you don't know when will it come, how will it come, where will it catch you. And also, many times we give different interpretations to things. If suppose, God forbid, there's an illness or an accident or something, immediately you start thinking, okay, what did I do wrong? Maybe I've sinned, maybe something. According to what you said before, then the question is, where did I do something good? It's as if I always deserve to be punished. Yeah, it's something that's around us all the time. So maybe the most basic question that I, as a person, would like to understand, does God punish us? I'm not familiar with this concept. No? Meaning God doesn't punish? I don't want to talk about the concept of God, because the way I look at it, it's a system, and it's not someone sitting in the sky that decides whether he wants to punish you or not. Okay, suppose there is a system of laws and rules, so does it punish me if I do something that goes against the rules, the laws of this system? If we're talking about a system, can a system punish? So what does being punished from heaven mean? Very simple. A person that did something wrong, he has to be corrected. A correction. Not punishment, but correction. Yeah? And therefore he gets this correction. He's being taken through different states that he actually caused himself with respect to this general system. And he feels that it's punishment. This is what he thinks, that it's punishment, but it's not punishment, it's correction. Okay, what's the difference between punishment and correction? I put my hand in the fire. I got burned. Is this punishment or not? No. Why not? Because there is a system of laws here. This is exactly how all of nature works. It's a system of laws. Okay. Sometimes a person experiences certain states in life as a punishment because he doesn't know, because he applies his own personal feelings to nature. He thinks that this is how everything behaves. But actually, were he to see how he's built, he'd see that he is working according to unbreachable laws, according to a very simple system of laws, and that there's nothing here that has to do with wanting to do one thing or another, but everything functions in a very precise way. Meaning it's all very systematic. Of course, there's the beginning and the end of creation. There's the state from which we begin and the state that we have to reach. We have to achieve complete, unconditional love between everyone. And therefore, there's no punishment here, but only correction. Okay, so let's speak about the correction. For example, I know that in the Torah, there are places where it talks about divine punishment, and there is something that's called karet. And both of these are considered as some kind of a correction. It doesn't matter how we call these things. Maybe we don't understand these things, or our viewers don't, or you don't. Let's simply say that a person performs different actions that he can do in a better way. He does them in a worse way. So in order to compensate for it, there's some pressure put on him. It's intended in order to teach him how to perform these actions in a better way. That's it. Meaning there's no punishment, but only correction. Okay, I understand that there's a correction, only what I'm trying to understand are different concepts mentioned in the Jewish Torah. I don't want to get into it. We're talking about this based on what? Based on you recalling something that you read someplace? No. I don't want to talk about it based on that. Let's talk about more realistic things that are closer to us. So there are no punishments, but only correction. And also there's no kapara, no expiation. Because what is expiation? Atonement. That I did something bad, and Maimonides explains that it's a process where a person confesses to doing it, promises that he won't do it again, and then the matter is atoned. It's also a correction. What did you just say? That I've acknowledged that what I did is a sin, that by this I caused harm to a person, to humanity, to nature, by my ego, and therefore now What does it mean that I admit to doing it? I have to examine what was I supposed to do good? What harm did I do instead of it? What is the harm that I did? And now, how can I compensate for it? That's called kapara, atonement, to compensate for it. Okay, suppose I'm a rational person and I understand that probably I'm sinning and doing wrong. Everyone is, all the time. Okay, is there a way to avoid? I understand that the correction has to happen, so there's no way to avoid the correction itself or the pain that comes with the correction. No. The correction has to happen just like every sin has to happen. Does it always have to be painful? I was corrected. I feel pain. Wait a second. I don't exactly understand. You asked several questions on the way here. What are you asking? I'm asking, talking about punishments. I know that when I'm punished, it's not pleasant. The correction, too. So your entire life, you're getting punishments. Right, because you're not aware that you're sinning all the time. Is there any way to avoid it somehow or feel it as something a bit more pleasant? No. It's not about pleasant or not. There's a way to avoid all of these transgressions, which is to meet the condition of love another as thyself as quickly as possible in all of your actions. Okay, so if I say, yes, I acknowledge that I have the evil inclination, there's hatred and there's love. And where are you in between the two? Correspondingly, you can see how much you have sinned, how wrong you were, and how much you have to compensate for it. All life long, all the time, we're doing wrong because we're not directed at reaching love another as thyself. We're not directed at connecting with other people in a good and nice way, and therefore we're transgressing all the time. And this is why our life is so hard, because we're constantly getting small punishments all the time. All the time. We never feel good. The states in which we receive small punishments, we already consider that as something good. Until, as it says, a person dies without achieving half of what he wanted. Okay, you're saying that a person isn't aimed at attaining love at all, and this is why he's constantly getting beaten, so to speak, because we're not keeping the Torah. In the Torah, the great rule of the Torah is love another as thyself. No one's taking care of it. No one's concerned with it. And therefore, we're all in sin. And no one's worried about correcting themselves. Okay, so if I am aimed at that, I have the desire to achieve love, does this somehow help me overcome part of the corrections? There are no other corrections aside from attaining love. Well, I'm aimed at that, but it doesn't mean that I know how to love. But you want to get closer to it. Yes, that's enough. The desire is enough. Yes. It's not that you want to be satisfied by it, but if you're aimed at that, it means that you are already walking on the right path. Okay. I wanted to ask. I recall that when I was a child, I really liked playing bumper cars. You remember what that is? You're sitting in this car that's connected by a pole to the electric circuit. Today there are probably more advanced technologies, but that's how it was built, and you drive around in this lot and bump into each other, like the ones in the amusement parks. Yeah, exactly. And I remember I loved these cars. Now, what is it about? You're constantly bumping into other cars all the time. More, less, no matter how much you try, you bump into something. And why did I remember this? Because you said that you're not aware of it, but you're getting punishments all life long, all the time. because you're not directed correctly. The only difference is that there's someone who gets bigger blows or smaller blows. The one getting the smaller blows, he thinks that he's living a good life. Yeah. So, I wanted to ask, is it possible to live your life without getting any kind of punishments? Is it possible? No, never. But, why? Because you're evil to begin with in all of your desires, and even though that you're about to correct them, but you're correcting that which is revealed as something evil. And as it says, a person does not perform a mitzvah unless he first fails in it. First of all, you have to commit a sin. You have to atone for it. You have to, so to speak, pay for it. Make a correction. But, if you know that all of these things that are revealed, they come from your original nature, it's not that you did it, but it's revealed in order for you to correct it, then that's something else. Then you have no sins. This I don't understand. If what? If I, from this point and on, am all the time keeping myself in the right direction, that I am going to reveal my nature, and that my nature is evil to begin with, only in order to receive, for my own benefit, against others. And then I have to correct that nature for it to gradually start working for the benefit of others. So even if there are bad things that are revealed, I look at them with a smile, with satisfaction, with content, gladly. Because, as it says in Hebrew, Sim enecha elehem veyu legal shel atzamot, which means what? That they're becoming revealed in order for me to correct them, in order for me to invert them into good, like a precise diagnosis of an illness that you didn't know what it is, something like that, that you already know what you have to do in order to become better. Yeah. Okay, so if I understand what you're saying, the attitude toward the blows that you get in life also changes once you correctly define the goal. If you define the goal as achieving love, then even if on the way you're getting punishments and corrections and all the negative things that we talked about, you as if interpret them differently because they're directing you. It's called unhappy for the wicked that are revealed because they direct you more quickly toward the goal. Yes. All through the show I have this feeling that we're navigated by a navigation system, right, that I and everyone else are being operated by without being told what's the final destination. It's like I was given a car and I was told, feel free to go anywhere. Everything's open. I start driving, I start getting blows from the right, from the left, because I'm going the wrong way. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm sorry, you studied in a yeshiva. You were taught, love another as thyself is the great rule of the Torah, meaning that it includes everything that you have to do. What does it have to do with the destination? The destination is that you reach unconditional love for everyone. And why is this the destination that everyone has to reach? Because then you cause all of nature to be round, integral, connected, general, in which you feel perfection. And in this perfection, you discover the force that controls the whole of nature that's called Elohim, God. Okay, let's go back to Kapara, atonement. The matter of the Kapara, if I understand correctly what you're saying, it's something very advanced. A person understands that he did something wrong. Kapara, atonement, is something very simple. It's completion, meaning that I discovered a certain flaw in my attitude towards others, that I treated them adversely, and now I compensate for it with good. That's why it's called to atone. Okay, I understand what I did, I won't do it again. That means that I've completed the correction. But there's also punishment sometimes that I have to feel how bad it is not to repeat it again, meaning it's more than kapara, more than atonement. There has to also be punishment. There are many very interesting things about this that we learn about ourselves on our way to correction. Okay, I understand the kapara. It's a process that a person goes through and he reaches correction and completion, and you just mentioned punishment, meaning there is an additional element. It's not enough that I understood and I've corrected, but there's something more. What am I punished for? It's so that you won't do it again. The thing is that if we feel bad and we can immediately cover it with good, then we can say, okay, this is bad, I regret doing it, and I cover it with good. And by covering it with good, I even did a mitzvah. So why not disclose the evil again? I see. Meaning that as if the atonement might not be perceived by the person as meaningful enough, and then he can do it again and atone for it again and so on. And therefore, I have to compensate for my sin and for what I did to another person or to nature, and also to the system in general. There are different calculations here that are a bit deeper than we see on the surface. Okay, yesterday I treated someone wrongfully. This is what we call a sin. What will happen to me now? It's already registered in the general system, in the big computer that we exist in this entire matrix. It's registered that you harmed someone. Okay, so first of all, you say that it's registered. It's registered that you have disclosed the evil. You harmed someone specifically. You harmed the entire system. That has to be whole and complete. So now you have to know, how do you atone for all of these things? Can I atone for yesterday? Yesterday I harmed her. Of course you can. In spirituality, in these matters, there's no time. What do you mean? There's no time. It's a general system that all of it has to reach good at a certain point, completion, perfection. And therefore, whatever you did, somewhere, at a certain time, at a certain point, it's all registered. It's registered and it's there. Okay, if everything's registered, then how is it possible that I correct for the evil that I did yesterday? What's the difference between yesterday and today? It's already registered. To begin with, from when you're born, you come out with this box of evil, a box full of snakes. Okay, yesterday I did something bad. You're saying that in the system, it was predetermined. There is no new evil in the world. Since the sin of the tree of knowledge, everything is being revealed in small portions. Okay, this is from the perspective of the system. I'm talking about myself. I want to understand my life a bit better in order to get fewer blows. And so every time that you say, in the system, it's no, that you'll sin, that you'll this, that you'll, I don't know. The system knows everything. So I'm putting the system aside because I can't even digest it. There's no time, there's no this. I'm looking at myself. I want for my life to be as good as possible. Yesterday, by mistake, I harmed someone. Now, what can I do so that I'll be, so to speak, set back on course in the most subtle way, with love and everything? I know that, I understand I have to be set back on course, but in a good way, so it won't crush me. Can I influence that? Yes. Great. That's great news. Now, how can I diminish the damage, so to speak? First of all, you have to examine, what do you want to expiate for? For you not to be harmed, so hell won't be waiting around the corner for you. So nothing bad will happen. You know, you have kids, you have this, you have that. Many things can happen. Meaning, you don't care about your fellow man that you've harmed, but what you care about is that you won't be harmed because of the harm that you caused him. Well, yeah, the truth is that this is how it is.
No.
Look, I'm not in favor of being bad, but it happened. Mister, you see that from this point and on, you have to learn how to perform corrections, and the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about all of these corrections. I can't elaborate on all of this, but it's something very interesting. It leads a person to perfection. It opens the path towards the revelation of the Creator, towards the system of creation, the world, to live a life beyond life and death. Because the moment we start correcting our soul, this entire evil, the evil inclination, it's called the corrupted soul, when we start correcting it, and instead of it, we start getting a corrected soul, there we start attaining the upper reality. Not through the evil inclination, but through the good inclination. And then we really live our life. Dr. Lightman, what is this supreme reality? What a person attains if he reaches the love of others. If a person can reach love of others, he starts feeling a supreme reality? Yes. How is it supreme? That it's above our ego. Therefore, it's called supreme, that it's above our ego. It's a reality where there is nothing bad, no harm, nothing. But a person is in perfection that never becomes less, but only goes and grows more and more. And therefore, this feeling gives them the feeling of an eternal life. We're going for it, Dr. Lightman, to be continued. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.